Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here.
Amen.
And as we look in Ephesians chapter 5, as you turn your place there, we're dealing with godly homes. And as we start out, our key verse, we're going to start reading with our key verse and read down to verse 16. And as the first 21 verses, I remind you this morning, deal with obedient children. And then the last part deals with obedient husbands and wives. It takes all those things to make a godly home. You can't have one of the three or two of three. It takes all three of them. Everybody's got to do their part. As we start reading Ephesians chapter 5, look down at verse 11. The Bible says there, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says, but rather reprove them. And that's our key verse of the chapter. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then you walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we look in the Word of God this evening, I'm going to preach to you on something about your home that will help your home out. You can't just be all positive about everything, but I'm going to warn you tonight from the Scripture about dangers in our Christian life. Dangers in our Christian life. And I want to point out the ones he points out right here in these verses of Scripture. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you tonight. We thank you, God, for allowing us the time to come back to the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the great work you've done in our hearts already. Lord, we need to know more about Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll show him more to us tonight. We pray for our understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, I pray you'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And God, that you'll just move in this service. Fill us with your spirit and help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look tonight at dangers, when somebody points out dangers to you, listen, this day and age, if you point out a danger to somebody, they say, well, you're offending me. Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? I mean, listen, what about that road guy out there? He's got a sign up that says, danger, don't go past the sign. So you ain't telling me what to do. Right around that corner, the bridge is out. Have at it. That's the way folks are getting to be nowadays for some reason. They think that if somebody's trying to warn them about something, they're being mean. Mm-hmm. You ever seen a beat in your life? Well, I was glad that day I was working an electrical crew. I was an electrician, but I worked with an electrical crew for a while. And that guy said, don't touch that.
Yeah.
I said, why I don't need to touch that? You ain't telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Come to find out, that's like 3,000 volts. If I'd have touched that, they wouldn't have been enough for me left to have a funeral with. Mm. I'd have just, poof, went away. There it went. Thank God for some people that warn you about some dangers in your life.
Yeah.
I'm glad when they told me that, don't let that snake over there bite you. I'm glad they told me one day, if you see a dog and he's slobbering at the mouth and barking at you, he ain't saying, come pet me. Some of y'all thinking, I'm glad that somebody told me in blue lights mean I got to slow down. But there are dangers in your life, and there's a very real devil that's out to attack you. He don't want you to have a godly home.
Right.
And here's what he'll do to stop that thing. He'll hit you with some things that you'll never see coming, because he'll sneak up on you just sure as you're sitting here tonight and say, listen, everybody's doing this okay, or this will make you wise if you learn how to do this. You'll be a wise craftsman if you do this thing. But watch this tonight. As we look at these dangers in our Christian life, if you look down at verse 11 through 13, our first danger that we find is the dangers of secret societies. Secret societies. He says, and have no fellowship. He points out with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, that's pretty plain, ain't it? But listen, something that wants to go around and keep itself a secret and don't want to tell nobody else what's going on and have a he-man-woman-haters club or a she-woman-man-haters club, that thing is a secret society. Don't fool with it.
Right.
He says, have no fellowship with that thing. He said, have no fellowship. He said, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I know a lot of times people they're confused about the unfruitful works of darkness. They think, well, I got to befriend them so they'll get saved. That ain't what God just said. He said, have no fellowship with them.
Yeah.
Have no fellowship with them.
Right.
If somebody comes along and they say, I've got something that will enhance your Christianity, if you'll ask me about it.
Well,
secret society, we can't tell nobody about it. But if you'll ask me about it, I'll tell you about it. And it'll enhance your Christian life. While we have business meetings and everybody's cool with it, and there's never arguments there like you are in Baptist churches. That's the recruitment speech I got. And I found out something. They don't know what they're talking about. Because there is no enhancements to your Christian life. Listen, you can't enhance on what Christ did for you on the cross. There is no enhancement about that. If you want to go forward for the Lord, do everything publicly. Tell what you believe publicly. And if you find out you're wrong, repent publicly. Read your Bible in private and live your Bible in public. Pray in private and see God answer things in public. Live for the Lord like that. Don't do it in secret. You're not a secret agent Christian.
Come on.
And anything that's involved in secret agencies, listen, you've got to understand, he said, I have no fellowship with them unfruitful works of darkness.
Yeah.
So how are they unfruitful? I don't care if they give $10 million to you this year, they're still unfruitful.
Right.
Money's not everything, and money don't always show everything. But when he says unfruitful works of darkness, I'm going to put it to you this way. If Satan's called Baphomet, and he's a Baphomet in the Bible, and he's over the secret club, I don't have anything to do with that club.
Right.
That's pretty plain, brother. Listen, that's pretty plain.
Right.
That's covering all of them.
Come on.
At least some of them, listen, at least some of them have the honesty to understand this. That if they get so far in those things, they realize, hey, this thing ain't really Christianity, but it works better in Christianity. That's the devil's lie to you.
Yeah.
Amen, friend. Listen. I notice this. Them secret societies, the impact they have on a Christian's life is this. They're a danger to your Christian home.
Right.
So how do you know? Well, you got to get away from home to go to them, don't you? I'm not trying to get you out every night of the week doing something. I'm going to get you back to the house.
Right.
And I notice he says, but rather reprove them. And listen, there's a fellow told me one time, he used to come to church. He said, now I got this book. If you let me become a deacon, I'll get this church calmed down for you. I said, I got a book that'll calm it down. I said, we just waiting on God to move and give us the green light when. But we don't need your extra biblical revelation to do any of that stuff.
Right.
Never have needed it, never will needed it, won't need it for my Christian life, you won't need it for yours. God already has a book to run the church with. He don't need no outside help.
Right. Yeah.
Now watch this thing here. He said in verse 12, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame to even talk about them. Isn't that something? So God's warning those secret societies, have no fellowship with them, reprove them, and it's a shame to even speak of those things that are done in secret. Leave that stuff alone. He said, but all things are reproved, he said in verse 13, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So what we find out is these unfruitful works of darkness and these works like that. He said, we don't have to discuss them publicly. If they want to keep them secret, let them. But we're not going to go fellowship with them. There's a group of people in this day and age that hadn't realized this. But one of the biggest secret societies and churches, you know what it is? Cliques. You can join mine, but you can't join nobody else's. You can be my friend, you can't be nobody else's in this church. If you hang out with me, you can't hang out with them and all this other stuff. Why is that? So then get in secret and fill your head full.
Yeah.
I like to walk up on people in this parking lot out here and they all got to quit talking when they show up.
Hmm.
I know what I found. I found my secret society.
Right.
They own a recruitment drive. They're trying to get more members for their cause. I understand how that works. I see people do that thing. They say, and listen, famous words, and you walk up on them, they start going, but, go ahead and finish. I'm here. Tell me about it, too. I want to join, too.
Yeah.
I want to be a card-carrying member, but I'm going to make it a public club when I join.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he said rather reprove them.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, don't get in a situation where you all closed off to yourself and nobody but your four and no more. That's what's wrong with people nowadays. They're trying to click up instead of church up, amen.
Yeah.
Listen. We got to understand, we come together, we come together.
Yeah.
In fact, if our church was, what I like to do sometimes is on Sunday morning, get everybody sat down, get everybody comfortable, side, everybody, let's switch seats. There's a number under your seat, when you pull that off, it'll be a number somebody else's seat, you got to go sit in. Only exception, husbands will sit with wives, that's the only thing.
Amen.
We ain't breaking up the family over it, amen.
Amen.
We're going to put y'all on the back row up here in the front row on the back, the side row's on this side. You that's over here cool, going to get over here and get hot, and you that's hot, going to get over here and get cool. All in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I think we could call that thing a mixed up Sunday, couldn't we? I suppose if I had ice cream supper afterwards, that'd make it a mixed up Sunday. That'd be okay, right?
Amen.
Let's vote. I think that'd be a good idea. Amen. One, two, three. Got enough votes. There we go. There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. The Bible warns us about stuff like this, about the unfruitful works of darkness over in Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." When do they do all that? When the door is closed and the meeting gets private, that's when they do it. And I'm not referring to a deacon's meeting in the church either. You know why we close the door in deacon's meeting? Because we're trying to get all the ideas that we got together we've already heard about without hearing 10 more after it. Amen.
Come on.
I asked one deacon, I said, "You know why we have a closed door deacon's meeting?" He said, "Why?" I said, "We won't get out before 12.
Come on.
But anything we talk about, I'll be glad to let you know.
Amen.
We don't exactly keep that thing too much of a secret. So why can't you? Deacon's wives, amen. That's why you can't keep it a secret. Deacon's wives, amen. You go in that deacon's meeting, so don't tell your wives. That's the first one they run to. Honey, guess what he said in there a while ago?
Well,
I don't care. It's okay. But look at this. I see we got secret societies are a danger. And then in verse 14, he says, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that does what? Sleepest. And arise from the dead." And he says about that thing, he says, "And Christ shall give thee light." Here's a danger to avoid your Christian life. It'll take care of your Christian home if you're not careful. That's lazy liberties. Listen, too many times the devil will use laziness on your behalf and call it the grace of God.
Yeah, come on.
You ever heard this one before? I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired too.
Amen.
But you know what? I ain't going to let that get over what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
If I'm a singer and I got to sing tonight, I'm going to have a song ready.
Right.
If I'm going to preach, I'm going to have a message ready. If I'm going to lead the singing, I'm going to have a song list together. And I'm going to show up and do all them things. And if I'm in the congregation, I'm going to come congregate because that's what I'm doing.
Yep.
I ain't going to fool around with all this. Well, you know, it's just boy, it's too hot outside. You ought to be in my house today. It's cold all day in the house. She had the air conditioner run down. Some of you have complained about that. If we'd had heat on, you'd have complained about that. You say, that just wore me out. I can't make it back. Lazy
right.
Liberties.
Yeah.
This country, the United States of America, you can do anything you want to. Our founding fathers made it so. When they come out of tyranny, out of all that, under a wicked king that they were sitting under, they made sure we had liberty for all. And you know what that, listen, there's a backside of that thing if you ain't careful. The cults will sneak in with that liberty. See, they had no idea that people would be wanting to join back up with cults after they got over here and saw the grace of God. They didn't think that happened. They said, "We got liberty to worship the Lord over here." And they said, "Okay, let's worship this false God." They wasn't counting on all that. But I see also with these lazy liberties, people would take liberty and be lazy. It says, "Awakest thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead." Hey, some folks sit around like dead people all the time. They don't do nothing. Nothing. So what's a dead man do? I've never seen one do anything, to be honest with you. And most folks that are breathing, that he's speaking to right here in this verse, he's not talking to dead people being resurrected from the dead. He's talking to live people that's acting like dead people. Those lazy liberties that you're taking advantage of might be something that's going to cost you down the road. Now, I found out something. You know you don't have to pray every day that you can get out of that? You don't have to read your Bible every day? You can get out of that. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to do anything. You've got liberty. But it says not to use that liberty as a cloak of covetousness. What the book says now. And when it talks about awakest thou that sleepest, he said, Christ shall give thee light. I found out if you ain't got the power to do it, he's got the power to help you do it and to do it through you. If you ain't got the money to do it, he's got the money to do it through you and supply the need.
Right.
If you don't have transportation, he's got a way of getting you there.
Sure.
That's what he does.
Amen.
And God help us, society in this day and age we live in. It says, "Well, I can't make it to church. It starts so early in the morning. My goodness, half of you work at a job, you start at 7 o'clock, you got to get up 4 o'clock to get your face together at 6 so you can leave the house and drive like a mad person who's out lost their mind for 55 minutes to get there to walk in and click in just on time. But 10 o'clock's too early for you. I understand. That's just rough on a person, ain't it? I understand 6 o'clock in the afternoon is not a good time, but when we had service at 7, that wasn't a good one either. If we had it at 5, that wouldn't be a good one either. I called around and asked. A lot of these churches around here tell me, they said, don't matter if we have service at 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, they still going to be a crowd that says, oh, that's not a good time for me.
Yeah.
Tell you something. You don't get a church that suits you. You say, God, what do you want me? And you get there and suit that outfit.
Right.
Don't be lazy.
Hey.
Don't be lazy. Listen. There's a fellow told me, he said, now listen, he said, them Russellites and them people like that go out and knock on doors, them bicycle boys, you got to give them credit. I said, for what? Sending people to hell? No, we got to give them credit for nothing.
Right.
They think they got to do that to go to heaven.
Right.
But you and I that have already been saved, and we already going to heaven, we so lazy, we won't even tell the guy beside us about it.
Come on.
Ain't it something we work with people for 30 years, never tell them about Jesus, and then when they come to work, where those such and such? He died yesterday. What happened to him? I just fell over dead. We took that lazy liberty and been sitting on it for 30 years. Now that guy, we don't know where he's at. God knows where he's at, but God put him right there beside you all that time. Tell these folks about Christ, why you got the opportunity. Listen, I got a neighbor, a huge man, 6'10" tall. He'd be short for the NBA. I saw a cult come up his door one day, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. Because I'd already witnessed God. The guy said he saved. Told him when he got saved and everything. Now, can you imagine? Here's these little guys out here. They're this big. They're big around this microphone right here. And they out there, and they're having to look up at him anyway. And he's done took the conversation. He's holding his hands up and praising the Lord and doing all this other stuff. They doing like this. And I almost felt sorry for him. I went and bailed him out. And I thought, nah, I'm going to watch this. It's better than TV. So, how you know your neighbor saved? I asked him. I asked him. You need to ask.
Hey.
Find out.
Yeah.
Listen, them people you work with, you probably already know where they're lost saved by the way they act. Give them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus.
Right.
Live something in front of them.
Right.
Now watch this. We got these lazy liberties that show up. He says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then down at verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the reason you want to do that, he says in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days, it says, are what? What's that word there? Evil? Evil. Listen, we got dangers in our life. The number one is secret societies. Number two is lazy liberties we take. And number three is treacherous times. You and I are living in the age in which Christ will come for his church. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you think the Antichrist is alive right now? That won't matter one way or another, because whoever it is that he's going to use, the Antichrist is going to use, he's going to be like Judas. He's going to be fine up until the devil possesses him. That's when he becomes the Antichrist. So it don't matter who it is. He'll pick him out later.
Right.
He ain't worried about that.
Right.
Don't believe everything you see in the movies. It ain't true.
Right.
But I see this. I see treacherous times on us. And he says to redeem the time because the days you and I live in are evil. Has there ever been a more evil day? We say, well, listen, we want to see our president's tax returns. Well, bless God, go up to the IRS and pull a file and look at them. But you know what I'd want to do? I'd want to see your tax returns and find out how you can do all this protesting without a job and do all that on you. You say, well, we ought not go to war. Okay, let's just let people keep firing missiles at Israel. See how much God blesses our country for letting it happen, and we can stop it.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
They're not firing them at us. They're firing them at Israel.
Yep.
All these nuclear programs around the world, they're designed with one thing. They got a USA in the target. It's a Jerusalem USA. They won after that one. That USA in Jerusalem.
Yep.
So we can't get involved with that. Treacherous times, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our country may be at war. Hey, newsflash, we've been at war since 2001. We have continuously fought somebody.
Yep.
Of course, the other day they kind of silenced about 100 witnesses over there the other day, didn't they?
Amen.
I'm not advocating murder, but this is war. That's a different thing.
Right.
But why are you worried about some towel head in the back of a cave over yonder that's killed all kinds of innocent people? Why aren't you worried about that abortion doctor over in Greenville that's been killing innocent people for over 25 years over at that place?
Right.
So where's it at? Let's go street preach at it, and I'll show you. If you'll agree to street preach over there, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. If you'll agree to street preach for that thing, I'll go with you. How about that?
Yeah.
Listen to me. These are treacherous times.
Yeah.
Do you know that when you're on that road over in Greenville, you can give birth on one end of the road or get an abortion on the other? Same road.
Wow.
Say, well, ain't nobody stop it yet. The Baptist church right across the road, and every 2 years they run off a pastor.
Wow.
Unbelievable. So why don't the Southern Baptists get involved? Well, they had a big old Southern Baptist church near there called First Baptist of Greenville, and they pulled out because the convention was too conservative, so they could have sodomite weddings and sodomite deacons and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That's in a Baptist church. That's not the United Methodist. That's a Baptist church.
Yep. You're right.
My question to you is this. Why don't we let them quit? Why don't we vote them out a while back instead of them getting quit on us?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And I got a good one for you. Why don't they take Baptists off their door?
Yeah.
They won't keep taking Baptists off. Why don't that crowd take Baptists off theirs? You're giving us a bad name, you understand?
Yep.
But I look at this thing and I see the godly homes and the treacherous times we live in. And one thing in particular I think we've seen more so than anything else in these treacherous times is the information overload of false information. In these treacherous times you and I live, there's always a new Jesus every day. Somebody's claiming to be the Messiah for the Jew. Somebody's claiming to be the Lord. I'm God, they'll say. Most of them they'll lock up. Most of them will be proven false real quickly. But here's the sad thing. Some of them are getting a crowd together. Treacherous times. So how does people fall for that? They've been falling for it in this country for 300 years. While we've been standing on this soil, people have been leading people astray.
Yeah.
The only thing we have to fight that is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our churches want to take that away. We're in treacherous times. They're wanting to silence the pulpit, fire up the choir, and get rid of the Bible.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us? We live in treacherous times.
Right.
So how do you fight that? You stay faithful to the Lord. You watch out for these dangers like that. And listen, there's been things that's happened at this church that I've never even shared publicly, how people want to come in here and start playing football with the youth on Wednesday night and take them out of preaching. And I said, I don't think that'll be a good idea.
Yeah.
I blamed y'all for it, that y'all never let it go happen, but I took the responsibility and said no.
Come on.
Ain't that what you do? Well, our preacher won't like that, and really it's you that don't like it. You're just throwing me under the bus with it. That's okay. Because we're seeing it, seeing I'm again it anyway.
Right.
I've had people tell me, they say, listen, I got an idea for a church. That's somebody never been here before in their life. Come here and say, I got an idea. Let's get us a carnival together. I said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to play Dunk the Fat Man. I get to sit on that thing and you throw balls at us. Yeah, something like that. I said, no, we ain't doing that.
Come on.
So, listen, this is all we do to get the kids to respect their pastor nowadays, much less putting them up there and dunking them in a dunk tank all the time. Some joker done vacation Bible school here once and said, he said, I want to douse you with water balloons at the end of the week. I said, you ain't dousing me with nothing. I'll shoot you. You throw water balloons at me. He said, well, I'll do it then. I let him throw it at me. I said, that's a good idea. Amen. You ain't putting a pie in my face either.
Right.
I ain't playing all that stuff. And listen, I ain't kissing a goat because I already saw your mother-in-law and ain't no way I'm doing that. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
This is stuff that's been in the Gaffney Ledger, by the way.
Yeah. Come on.
I'll never get a guy kissing that goat. I looked at that thing, I thought, Lord God, how'd she talk you into kissing her mama like that? I never thought he'd fall for that.
Come on.
We get so many in Sunday school, will you kiss a goat? No.
Yeah. Come on.
If you want me to kiss a goat, you've got about five good men to hold me to it. Amen. Listen.
Amen.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
We're living in treacherous times. You ought to want to come to Sunday school regardless of who's kissing who.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
In our Christian homes, we live in treacherous times. You know why? We have a division in our house right now where when people come, when they leave out of the house, they go every way but together. There's no such thing as family time. There's no family devotion time. And some people will ask, well, what do we do for family devotion time? We don't do anything. We listen, this one puts on the iPod, this one puts on the iPad, this one puts on the iTunes, and this one over here just goes to iSleep, and that's it. We're all done.
Yeah.
We don't get together anymore.
Right.
When I was a kid, I think that place Brother Red worked at, what's the name of that place over there? The electronics place. Right, whatever exit that is, we used to have a family reunion at that plant every year. That's how I even know who my cousins are, because we saw them once a year. Had some of them lived in Blacksburg and Cherokee Falls and Draytonville and McCown's Mountain and all these other places. They weren't sophisticated country people, you understand. But listen to me, we all got together over there, loved each other, had fun. I remember some of the best dinners I ever ate being over there. I think it's Monsanto was the name of that place back then. And they had a playground, and they had one in slides. And this is why you shouldn't dress your children in shorts. Because you got on that slide, it's cool climbing up there. But when you started sliding down, that thing was mirror-like. And if it was 100 degrees outside, that thing was 200 degrees. And on the way down, you got a sunburn and a scar.
Come on.
True story. But to have something like that happen now, well, you got to print them a T-shirt with their names on it. Have an award to give to everybody that's there, a participation award. And you got to buy them dinner. This ain't like it used to be. My grandpa's side of the family met down at this church down here. You go down at the end of Brickhouse Road and take a right down there. Abington Creek Baptist Church. We had a reunion down there, and we'd have a reunion fellowship building. And we'd go in there, all the family would get together. We had a Blanton reunion over there and a McDaniel reunion over here. And then over at the State Park, we'd have a little reunion every once in a while. Can't get them littles together too much. They fight too much now. That's just a rough crowd. But we did the best we could what we had. We didn't have the police call too many times, but we did what we had to do, you understand. But I understand this. You can't get families together no more. That's a danger to you. See, the devil's divided all of them. This cousin don't like this cousin. This cousin married this cousin's wife. What were y'all thinking? Don't do that. That's your cousin.
Right.
Hey, listen to this one. There's a lot of goes on these treacherous times. The only time you can get them together is at the courthouse. Listen, for the hearing over the person that died's will. That's your family reunion nowadays. Let's quit having that kind. Let's get back to the old school.
Yeah.
Seek out them old paths. Macaroni and chicken, amen. Let's go back that way, not go up here to lawyers and courthouses.
Right.
Listen, if you want to have something at the courthouse, listen, once you go have a dinner grounds on the courthouse for your family, but that way they'll already come. They'll know when they pay their child support and everything else, they just show up there and have dinner with you that day. Amen. I ain't preached against child support in so long. Listen, pay your child support. Pay your bills, amen. That's the truth. I said it right here in this pulpit. It's true. But listen, I see these treacherous times that are amongst us right now, and for some reason I haven't figured this out yet, but everybody's trying to fix society. Have you noticed that? We're going to fix society. God says here's how you fix it, redeeming the time. There was a man that I had for a teacher in Bible college, and he had a notebook with him. About every few minutes he'd write down something. I asked him, I said, what do you keep writing down? Are you taking our names or something? He said, no. He said, I put in for a doctor's degree at this university. He said, and they want me to track down every 10 minutes what I do in a day. He said, they don't want to give a doctor's degree to people that ain't doing nothing. I said, what do you mean by not doing nothing? He said, well, I wrote them and told them I was in the ministry. They gave me a workload to do, a thesis to write. And then they turned around and told me they wanted to schedule my day, how a normal day went. And they picked out 4 or 5 dates. He had to just write down every 10 minutes where he's at and what he's doing. Now, this is back before cell phones and iPods and iPads and all that. So he had to physically write it down. It was hard work. I could tell his hand was about to fall off, you know. But I watched the man do that, and I thought about that. Would to God that everybody handed out degrees in colleges would make sure these people get to the field of what they're supposed to be doing. And when they go for them higher learning degrees, they check on them, make sure they're actually doing it instead of just handing out titles for dollars.
Right. Yeah.
Treacherous times. Redeem the time. Check on what you're doing. I said all that to say this. What are you doing today? So I'm a Christian. I didn't ask you if you're a Christian. I said, what do you do? What do Christians do? Is there a time you pray? Do you read the Bible? Do you carry gospel tracts with you? Do you get on Facebook and cuss everybody out, and then come Sunday say, John 3:16, for God's sake?
Come on.
What has happened? We're not redeeming the time no more. Need to make this time count. Because one day, your time is going to be over, and it's going to be signaled by one little thing. It's a little mark. It goes like this. You know, that's going to be between the year you was born and the year you died. And who you are is defined in that little line.
Right.
I've never seen a big line at the funeral either. Have you? They always real small things, or a dot, or something like that. You know why? Because their life is but a vapor.
That's right.
It appears for a while, and then it vanisheth away.
Yep.
Every night, I watch my big old fat girl cat. She'll walk in there to Justin's room, and there's a vaporizer in there. You know, it's constantly putting out them vapors. They don't ever get, maybe this is the farthest I've seen them get. She goes in there, she's amazed by the blue light and the thing, and she licks the water around it and everything else. She's intrigued by that. How I got two cats is infatuated with water, I'll never know, but nothing in my house is normal anymore. But I look at that thing, and I see them vapors come out there. They don't get very far. You and I don't get very far. We didn't make our vapor count for Jesus while we got a chance. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You will not change the days.
Right.
See, a lot of people think that what a church is here for is to make America get so holy and the world to get so saved that Jesus will come and the kingdom be set up to run. That's why they pray, Lord, thank you for adding to your kingdom, and Lord, will you please add to your kingdom? When in reality, the king is not getting the kingdom to set up for him. He's coming to conquer at the end of those evil days.
Right.
And he's going to come and without the first shot fired, he's going to make peace on earth.
Right.
Without a shot being fired. He's going to speak it and it's going to happen. All the opposition, you know what they're going to do? They're going to be standing out there protesting on their horses. And a second later, they're going to be gone.
Yep.
There'll be blood up to the horses' bridles. And he tells them, nope, you're done. Head or gun. That's it.
Right.
He'll get rid of all that, and he'll set up his kingdom here on earth. He will. You and I, we're witnesses that the king is coming. Have you been a good ambassador lately and told him that the king's coming? The Bible tells us we're ambassadors. Redeem your time as an ambassador. Don't be like a politician. Be an ambassador. Go out and represent the king and tell people who the king is and tell them the king's good news and redeem the time while we got the chance.
Amen.
You and I, listen, somebody did it for you and I.
Right.
Somebody did. Somebody said, you know what? I think they're going to hell. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Or they got down somewhere and prayed and had your name on their breath and your name on their prayer list. The Lord, save that old sinner. Ain't nobody wants them but you. And God listened. Redeem your time by praying. Say, you know what? Instead of sitting around saying, what are we going to do to fix these problems? Fix them. Ain't that simple? Just flat out fix them. Do whatever you got to do to fix them. Instead of sitting around saying, well, I don't understand why such and such is like that. I don't either, but I know this. Prayer changes people and prayer changes things.
Right.
And listen, redeem the time because the days are evil. We got one shot at this life, that's all. You know these people that teach that reincarnation business? I hope they come back as a toilet seat. If that was true. But there is no such thing. You don't get
right.
a do-over.
Yeah,
you don't get to live in a cow in the next life.
Right.
A holy cow, a sacred cow, see. You wonder why Robin said that. That's why he said it. But what you do get is this. When you get saved, you get offered to redeem the time.
Right.
I'd hate to think I spent the first part of my life living for the devil, and the second part I got saved and didn't live for anybody but me.
Right.
Listen, redeem the time. Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye.